Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Praise the Lord. So when the Bible says, by Him, let us continually, say with me, say continually. When it says, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise, the word continually means that there is a comparison to a better. Continually means now we can do it more often. But before, it had to be on special occasions or days of the feasts. There are about 7 feasts that the Jews celebrated back in the day. And it is only on the days of the feast that you can offer thanks. Only on the days of special celebrations that you can now give thanks through your sacrifices of blood. But when the Bible says, but by Him let us continually, it means we don't need special days to give thanks. We can thank on Monday. We can thank on Tuesday. We can thank on public holiday. It doesn't matter. Every day is the day of the Lord. So that's the advantage you have over the Jew, over those who were in the legal system. So, but by Him, so let's say together, but by Him, I will continually offer praises. Now it says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of our lips. It means the praise in this dispensation is a verbal expression. We're not doing anything ritualistic like the old covenant saints who had to kill animals, but it is verbal. So your praise, your saying thank you, Jesus, or expressing in verbal language is good enough. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thanksgiving is a means to receiving more. Thanksgiving is a means to receiving more. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It's a means to receiving more. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. It doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart. Right? And minds through Christ Jesus. I always say that when you pray for God to do something for you, He gives you peace before the answer comes. And sometimes the peace is to guide you until you receive the answer. You know, a lot of people don't know that the blessing of the answer is the blessing of peace. Because if what you're praying for comes and peace doesn't come with the answer, there's almost no need for the answer. But God does something very spectacular that when you pray, that's why it says, worry about nothing. When you pray, the peace of God comes with or without the answer. That's a blessing from God, that I have the peace of the answer before the answer comes. And you know, many people have answers, but they don't have the peace. They don't have the peace that follows with the answers. So it's important that your heart is fixed on the right place. So it says, be anxious for nothing. Can I tell you something important to do in 2024? Don't worry about things in 2024. In fact, for the sake of your blood pressure, for the sake of your peace of mind, try not to worry. Because worrying has not done any good since you've been worrying, since you were born, since you were whatever. Worrying does not help. Tell your neighbor, worrying does not help. Look behind you, say, worrying does not help. I bet you didn't talk to anybody because the person behind you was looking behind. So, be anxious for nothing. All right? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's your default response this year. Okay? It's better you pray about things. Just don't worry about stuff. Let's see the message version. What does it say? Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Come on, amen. Letting God know your concerns. Let God know your concerns. Many of you feel that God is too detached from your concerns. Say, God is too far. God is in heaven. Does he care about house rent? He does. Does he care about my feeding? He does. Does he care about how I feel? Tell God how you feel, because he cares about how you feel. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who is not touched by the feelings of your infirmity. It means that Jesus knows the very spot you feel, the pain you feel. He knows that pain you feel. Somebody say amen. Amen. So say after me, I will not worry this year. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. When you thank God, you receive answers. When you thank God, you also receive peace. Peace. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is into this peace that God has called you together in the one body. And be thankful. But look at what it says. It says the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. You know, you need peace to decide. Some of you are making decisions in worry. Your best decisions are not done when you are angry, when you are at a halt. I use the word halt, H-A-L-T. And please hear what I said. It's not an absolute statement. I said your best is relative. When you are at a halt, H stands for hunger. A stands for angry. L stands for lonely. T stands for tired. So many times when you're at a halt, you're not at your best. That's why the Bible recommends that you're always joyful, because with joy, you draw from the wells of salvation. In fact, have you noticed that you are your best when you're happy? So to be happy is not to impress anybody. It's for you. It's for you. That's why the person who is trying to take joy away from your spirit, you are not doing the person a favor by fighting the person back. You should do yourself a favor by not responding to negativity. Yes. Say amen, somebody. Amen. So when you're at a halt, it's usually difficult to make the right decisions. When you're hungry, and I think that hunger part affects a large number of people in this house, because we have a lot of foodies in TSP. There are a lot of people who love food. If they don't see food, this fasting and prayer we just did, 24, 28 days fasting and prayer, it was work for some people. It was serious problem for some people. Some people were fasting, they were looking at their time. Once it was 11:55. 11:55, they were watching their time, waiting for 12 o'clock. You are just doing hunger strike. It's not fasting, you're fasting. Fasting without prayer, without studying the word, is not fasting. You are just exercising yourself. You are just doing hunger strike. Fasting is for you to have focus so you can pray and do the right things. And you know you can pray anywhere. You can pray in the office without disturbing your colleagues. Amen. Amen. Don't go and be doing revival inside office and they say, Pastor said we should pray in the office. I didn't send you. Amen. You can pray silently and nobody hears you. You can meditate on the word. You're fasting. You're ministering to the Lord. Come on, amen. All right? So when you're hungry, when you're angry, you should come on Wednesday, because I'm doing a series on growing faith, signs of the growing faith. What are things people are going to see to acquiesce to the fact that your faith is growing? One of it is that you become less touchy. You become less angry. The Bible says anger resides in the bosom of fools. Selah. We spoke about constructive anger and destructive anger. The Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. So it means anger is not a sin, but what you do with the anger is the problem. Yeah. So we are commanded by God to overlook offenses many times. The Bible says, love covers a multitude of sins. Some people are waiting to hear sorry before they forgive. It's like the message is entering. That's why I'm not getting a lot of responses. And I'm fine. It's okay. I don't mind. So back to what I was saying, when you're at a halt, when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, the sense of loneliness may drive you to making the wrong decision. When you're lonely or when you're tired, be careful what you do when you're tired, because when you're tired is the period where you have floating passions. Have you ever heard of that before? When your passions begin to... When you see passionate people, the problem with passionate people is not what they are doing in the time of their passion. It's what they are doing when they are tired. It's when the passion is not engaged. What do you do when the passion is not... So floating passions, that's when you begin to look for negative stuff to do. So that's why you wonder why great men make many mistakes. Because great men are driven by passion. But sometimes when they are in periods of vulnerability, the passion is floating passions and they use it wrongly. So be careful with floating passions. Be careful with floating passions. So when you are at a halt, give thanks. Remember, that's the time to give thanks. When you're hungry, give thanks. And you know, hunger is not only food. When you're desirous of something that has not come, you're hungry for something that has not yet manifested, still give thanks. Then when you're angry, give thanks. When you're lonely, give thanks. When you're tired, give thanks. Let the weak say, I'm strong. You know, we must know how to talk as believers. Somebody say amen. So, the Bible here says in Colossians 3:15 that we're commanded to give thanks, and then God supplies us with peace. When you thank God, things are multiplied to you. John chapter 6 and verse 8. I want you to see what Jesus did. John chapter 6 verse 8. You know what you're going to do in 2024? Take the things that you have and thank God for them. Now, one of the disciples, let's read it and I'll come back to this thought. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad, a small boy here, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? So the question I'm asking you now is, what you have, what is it among the many demands? Do you get my question? What you have now, what is it among many demands, many requirements? There are so many things you need to do in 2024. There are so many plans that you have. But what you have is not enough. It's not enough. It will never be enough. But one of the signs that you are in purpose is that God will give you a vision that is bigger than you. That's one of the ways you know God is asking you to do something. What you have will never be enough for what God is asking you to do. That's why you need the supply of the Spirit to help you in every step of the way. Come on, amen. Amen. Then verse 10, what does it say? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. You know, I like Jesus because he doesn't focus on the problem. You know, the last verse was a question mark. All right? Go back to verse 9, please, if you will. There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? You know, there are some questions you don't bother answering. So the next verse in verse 10, he just gives an instruction. He doesn't even answer this question. Because when you start entertaining so many questions, you may be tempted to reason with negativity. You may be tempted to reason the way you shouldn't reason as a spiritual man. You're not carnal. You're spiritual. You're spiritual. Now, look at verse 10. Then Jesus said, make the people sit. Now, there was much grass in the place, thankfully. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And you know, in the gathering back then, women were even more than the men. But Jewish custom is a biased custom. Don't mind the custom. They don't count women. They count men. So, it says the 5,000 men. Jesus didn't feed 5,000 people. He fed probably over 15,000 people. Because women and children were not counted in this. All right. However, he made everybody sit down. Next verse. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. So what did Jesus do? He took 5 loaves, 2 fish, gave thanks, and distributed among the disciples. Some of us read it and passed. First of all, how many disciples are there? Please talk to me. How many loaves are there? 5. How many fish? 2 fish. So that's, if we are handing everybody one after the other, that's 7. And the Bible says every disciple had something. So the miracle started as they started giving the disciples. Do you know something I noticed? This miracle of the feeding of 5,000 was a seamless miracle that people could hardly tell when the multiplication was happening. You know, some people would have been alarmed. There are some miracles that don't need to be loud, but they are undeniable. Come on. You know, sometimes you don't need to make noise. The people will see it. Now, as he was distributing, he was giving to everybody, it was not finishing. That's a blessing. But I see the miracle of thanksgiving. So it means focus on what you have. Many of us are not thankful because we're looking at what we don't have. The best thing you do is, what do I have? Okay, I have a house that, I didn't say you bought a house. You have a house you live in. Lord, I'm thankful that I can stay under shelter. I'm somewhere covered from the scorching sun. That's number one. Then, I have a job. It's not paying well, but I have a job. I'm thankful that I have this. Now, when you take all the inadequate and you lift it up and you say, thank you, do you know what is going to happen? There will be multiplication. Sometime unknowing to you, the multiplication begins to get so obvious that at the end of the day, you look back, you tell yourself, this is God. Hey, you know what I sense? God is going to do seamless miracles in people. Check it now. Some of you, your struggles today, let me rephrase, your blessings today, you did not come out to give special thanksgiving or testimony. Because when they happened, it felt like it was normal, right? But did you realize that 2 years ago, where you are now was your prayer point? So it means there were some things God did in a very seamless manner that just happened. Some of you could not afford what you are wearing now. Think about it. But have you come out to say, God, thank you for what I have now? Meanwhile, you are just there complaining. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So focus on what you have. Stop focusing on what you don't have. And the problem, another reason why people don't thank God properly is when they are looking at what somebody else has. Yeah. The person, you are not that person. You are not on the journey the person is on. You are on a different journey. And God is surely taking you to where he's going to take you to. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we must thank God for what we have. Lift it up. Lift that job up. I don't have children, but I have a wife. I don't have a wife, but I have a good mind that will get a good wife. I don't have a good mind. No. I don't have a car, but I have legs that can walk. And when I show up on the scene, it doesn't look like I don't have a car. Some of you are intimidated by the little things that really don't matter. And the most important thing is you. When you go to the office, do you carry your car to your table? So we must realize that there are certain things that are important we give God thanks for. Come on, amen. Give God thanks for you. Give God thanks because you have life. That's a long story. Anyway, but when you see people whose systems are working, they can breathe. You can go to the toilet and poo-poo. You can eat and your digestive system is processing. Now, you know, everything that is simple has a complex definition to it. So breathing, breathe in and breathe out. If I explain to you the physiologic expression of just this simple breathe in and breathe out, it will shock you how many systems in your body are at work. If at the first day I saw a cadaver, when I mean a cadaver, I mean a body opened, and then we were learning all the systems. The first day I saw it, I saw how intentional God was in creating man. Do you know that if you bring out the inside of what is in the abdomen and you lay it out, when it comes out, it will shock you to know that this, your little compartment here, is containing everything. But everything is working and nothing is malfunctioning. There are people in the hospital who are pleading to God just to be able to live. They're not their car, wife, husband. It's not their prayer point. God, can I just see the next day? And some of us wake up in the morning and we take it for granted. Let's learn to be thankful this year. I'm thankful because my mind is working. My systems are working. My digestive system, my cardiovascular system, my respiratory system. Every part of me is working. I'm thankful to God for that. Praise God. And for those of us who are sick in our bodies, thank God for your life. And then you see God multiply. So Jesus, back to the scripture, Jesus lifted up the bread and he began to give. And the bread started to multiply. Take me back to the scripture. Next verse, verse 12. So when they were filled, they were filled from what was inadequate. They were filled. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is what? Lost. Can I tell you, nothing will be lost in 2024. Can you make that amen louder, please? The blessings of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. Why will God give you something and you lose it? No. Say with me, say nothing will be lost in 2024. All right, next verse, verse 13. Therefore they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. It means everybody ate and there was leftovers. It means that God is bringing you into the abundant flow. More than enough. Not just enough, but more than enough. I hope you know I'm not just trying to psych you. If you believe it, you have it. So say with me, say God is bringing me to more than enough. Welcome to the overflow. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Hallelujah. But you know something important? If you go back to the first verse that I was reading, it showed you how the first thing Jesus did when he was about to distribute the bread is that he made them what? Sit. Sit. And the word sit there is the word rest. It takes us back to that scripture which says, be anxious for nothing. It says that if you're going to experience multiplication, learn how to sit. Your worry is too much. If you're going to experience abundance, and you know, I believe, because if you read another account, I guess it's Luke, it says he made them sit in 50s. So I believe that only those who were seated are those who ate. They probably were those who were standing, spectating from us from afar. But God wants you to learn how to sit. And to sit is to rest in what Christ has done. You know, see, there's a way you tell yourself, what I am looking for, Jesus has paid for it. Christ has done it. It gives you a sense of rest. So that posture, that mentality is your sitting. Sitting is not to take a physical posture, no. But sitting is to have a mindset that everything is done in Christ. That's what sitting is. Come on, amen. If you read verse 23 of this same John chapter 6, verse 23, John chapter 6. However, Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. So there's a reference here that speaks to what Jesus did, which was giving thanks. I don't have time to go to that. So thanksgiving multiplies. Thanksgiving provides the right atmosphere. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible speaks of Abraham. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Next verse. And not being weak in faith. How do you really get strong in faith? The Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith. So how do you get strong in faith? This is one way to get strong in faith. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. So you must learn not to consider. Stop considering what is not working. Stop saying what is wrong first. Say what is right first. Say what works first. Already dead, since he was about 100 years old at the deadness of Sarah's womb. Next verse. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. How? Giving glory to God. So the way you get strong in faith is to thank God continually. Thanksgiving provides the right atmosphere for faith to work, because you need that atmosphere in your life. Some of you, let me tell you what you do. You come to church on Sunday. You pray, or you receive as pastor declares. The moment you go outside, your confessions are so contrary to what you prayed for. Now, you see, the more you talk negative, say stuff that don't align with your expectation, the less you have that atmosphere. You need to have that atmosphere, because there must be a force field that your words create, which is the force field of faith. You must be careful that negative words don't come out of your mouth. That's why we teach how to talk in Zion. The Bible says, let the weak say. Do you know it's not honest to say you are weak when you are weak? You're not being real. Say, I'm a real person. I like to say things the way they are. You are just being scripturally ignorant. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Which one again? Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. My father said something, let the weak say I'm strong, let the tired go and rest. But it teaches us how to talk in Zion. That you don't talk anyhow. You don't open your mouth, because your mouth is not just for eating. Your mouth is for creating. God said, let there be, and there was. So let the weak say I'm strong. Because in saying you are strong, you are speaking of your position, and you are bringing yourself into your position. You are taking your experience to your position. So let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. And let those who feel disadvantaged say I'm the blessed of God. So guard your mouth. Because your mouth is the source through which God wants to use to create an experience for you. The Bible says guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So in Thanksgiving today, what you and I are going to do, we're going to look at all the things we have. What do I have? I don't want you to look at what you don't have. Mm-mm, that's not why I called you today. Just look at what you have. What has God given me? In fact, mention your salary. Don't mention it out. Mention your salary in your heart when you're praying to God. Say, God, this is how much I earn in a month. This is what I have, and I give you thanks for it. Mention your relationship, your networks, your family. Thank God for all the blessings. Lift it up to Him. and say, this is what I have. I give you praise. I give you a few weeks. Watch out for an expansion. Who's ready for the overflow? Okay. Can I tell you, just like the prophet said, he says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. It means something is about to unleash in your life. The sound of an abundance of rain was like a sign. It was like a little cloud in the shape of a man's finger. And that cloud speaks of the fact that, in the shape of a man's finger, speaks of the fact that many times the rain God is going to shower on you will come through men. It's just, it will come through the likeness of people. And God is going to use people to bring you to where he wants you to be. I hear in my spirit that there is a holy alignment with positive relationships that will align you to your destiny, where God really wants you to be. Who is receiving what I'm saying right now? God is bringing people your way. Just pads. You know, Jesus, when he died, it was who he knew. A man called Joseph of Arimathea that was instrumental in providing the grave for Jesus, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So sometimes you just need the right people in your life. And you guess what? They don't need to be born again. They just need to be sent by God. Because when God blessed Israel, Egypt were fundamental in enriching Israel. But Egypt did not believe in the God of Israel. In fact, if people who don't know God don't bless you, it's a question on if you're really blessed. Because one of the signs of the blessing is that people who don't serve your God will just favor you. When the ungodly begins to favor you, because the wealth of the Gentiles must be transferred, when they begin to favor you, God will unleash treasures from all parts of the earth, from the north, south, east, and west, that political forces, governmental forces, business corporations begin to speak in your favor. That's a man who is favored. Some of you are going to step into dangerous favor this year. It's a favor that, you know, there are some testimonies you can't really share because they'll be so big. You know, you have to come and meet me and tell me, Pastor, see what is happening in my life. That he turned my life around. For when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Do you want God to give you a blessing that looks like a dream? I'm asking a question now. Do you want God to do something profound for you that you just want to tell somebody, wake me up? No, don't wake me up. Because this doesn't feel real. But guess what? It's the reality of who you are in Christ. So welcome to the plenty that God is putting on your life. You are standing on a favor ground, and the place where he has blessed you is the place of who you are in Christ. So all I'm going to do is rest in what Christ has done for me. I'm stepping into plenty. I'm stepping into wisdom. Yes, what is the lamb that was slain? To receive power, to receive riches, wisdom, strength, glory, honor, power, success. I have all these things because I'm the blessed of God. Can you say with me, say, I'm blessed. Now make your neighbor feel it. Say, I'm a blessed man. Come on, tell somebody, say, woman, man, anyone. Tell, say, I'm a blessed man. You can't pressure the blessing. When you try to stifle the blessing will bounce back. So somebody's bouncing back. 2022 may not have been a good year. Last year may not have been a good year, but you are bouncing back. Because he's restoring to you the years that the cankerworm and the pamperworm has eaten. There is a restoration in this house. If you believe it, shout yes, somebody. Restoration going on in this house. You can't quiet the blessing. I'm a blessed man. I'm favored of God. And when you wake up in the morning, walk like it, talk like it, behave like it. Don't behave like you're a victim of life. You're not a victim. So, you know what you should do? Stop the pity party. All the pity parties, stop it. You know, some of us just like to gather people around us to say, hey, yeah, sorry, hey, yeah. Come on, snap out of it. You're a blessed man. You're a blessed woman. That's your life. You know, some of us don't know how to endure when God is passing you through seasons. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with you. It's just a season. And guess what? Season does not stay in one place. Season comes and it goes. So you might be at the verge of your season ending and the new one beginning. All you need is just wait and allow God to take you through. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. For weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Say with me, say, my joy has come today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in today. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. There's nothing the devil can do about it. I'm a blessed man. Can I pray for you? You will never be stranded in 2024. At the nick of time when you need help, God is going to show up for you. Who am I talking to? Wave your hands and say amen, somebody. For we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the very present help in the time of trouble. So what do? You just keep telling yourself, I believe God. Woo. When men will say there is a casting down, I will say there's a lifting up, because I believe God. Even when things are not aligning, I believe God. When there is no money on the table, I believe God. When it doesn't seem like I can make a new day happen, I believe God. When it's working for my brother and it's not yet working for me, I believe God. And for those who believe God, woo, it's just a matter of time and chance. For the race is not to the swift, not the battle to the strong. Hey, but time and chance happens to them all. My time is coming and no devil can stop it. My season is coming and no demon can stop it. My hour is coming and no season, no devil can stop it. For thou will arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor Zion, the set time has come. My time has come. Wave your hands and say, my time has come. I hear there is an abundance of rain flooding somebody's house. Whose house is it? I hear celebration in somebody's house. Whose house is it? I hear dancing in somebody's house. Whose house is it? I hear rejoicing in somebody's house. Whose house is it? I see abundance in somebody's house. Whose house is it? I see blessings upon blessings. Whose house is it? Somebody say, my house. It is my house. Glory. Let's lift up all that we have. Forget about what you don't have. It's not important. Just take what you have and say, God, thank you for the 50,000. Thank you for the 1,000,000. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my 2 children. Thank you for my job. I give you praise. I give you glory. I'm not a complainer, but I'm a praiser. I'm not one who murmurs, but I'm a praiser. I don't say, God, when, how, why, but I'm just giving you praise, and that's what I'm here to do today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lift your voices up. Lift your hands up. Now, if you don't know what to say, pray in the Holy Ghost, but make sure your mouth is open. Come on, lift your voices, everybody. Everybody, lift your voices. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.